You're listening to the Play Therapy Podcast with Dr. Brenna Hicks, your source for centered and focused play therapy coaching.
Hi, I'm Dr. Brenna Hicks, the kid counselor. This is the Play Therapy Podcast, where you get a masterclass in child-centered play therapy and practical support and application for your work with children and their families. In today's episode, I am answering a question from Bathsheba in Maryland, and I've actually answered her questions before, so she's a consistent question poser, which is lovely. So we're going to be talking about when a child comes in and plays out what they're doing on their screens. So they reenact video gameplay, they reenact something from an electronic device. How do we differentiate that? How do we handle that, etc.? However, before we dive in, I have a couple of housekeeping updates. So first and foremost, for those of you who reached out to me yesterday and shared with me birthday wishes, I had such an absolutely lovely day. I just wanted to let you all know that I am so grateful for all of you. I had flower arrangements delivered to the office yesterday from literally all over the world. So I just wanted to say, for those of you who posted in the collective, posted in Slack, emailed me, texted me, sent me flowers, cards, all the things that you all did, thank you so much. I truly felt so appreciated and honored, and it was just a lovely, lovely day. So just wanted to say how much I very much appreciated that. That really, really made yesterday special for me. Also, since today is February 29th, does not come around very often, happy leap year. And because Lauren at my center, one of my therapists, is all things posts, all platform posts, she texted me this morning and let me know that if your name starts with the letters in leap, so if you are an L, an E, an A, or a P, and I'm assuming this might be only for the continental states, so if you're international, I don't know if this will apply, but I just want to let you know, leap day only, so today only, February 29th, if you have a name that starts with L, E, A, or P, you get to go get a free sub with your ID, free medium sub with the purchase of another sub at Firehouse. And you know, Brenna is not a common name. I'm sure most of you don't really know anyone but me, maybe one other. It's usually pretty rare. And I never can find my name anywhere. And so typically Firehouse does, if your name is this, you get a free sub today with your ID. Well, Brenna's never on the list. However, around Christmas time, Lauren sent me a little post that said it was Burr for like being cold, and said, if your name starts with BR, you can go get a free sub today. And I did. And I was so happy because I never get my name lets me do anything. So for those of you L's, E's, A's, or P's, please go take advantage of your free Firehouse sub today with your ID. So that's your leap year housekeeping. And if you hear noise in the background, my neighbor is removing a large tree. So we have all kinds of equipment and beeping and grinding and all kinds of things. So I apologize if you hear external noise, but I wanted to get the podcast out. So we're just doing it in the midst of tree removal. And by the way, random aside, I love the phrase felling trees. Do you know that when you cut down trees, it's called felling? That's the verb. And I use that word sometimes in random conversation, much to my staff's dismay. They say that my vocabulary is exhausting to them and that I say random words that forces them to go look up because they've never heard half the things I say. And felling trees would be one of those examples. So I actually said something to someone not too long ago, and I was like, well, I mean, you know, if you wanted to moonlight, you could fell trees. Guy looked at me and went, okay, and walked away. And I'm like, he had no idea what that meant. So anyway, they are felling trees outside, and that's why you hear the noise. I digress. I'm back on track. All right. And finally, pray for me, y'all. Today is the first day of the CrossFit Open. And as soon as I'm done recording this podcast, I'm going out to do 24.1. And I'm just hoping that that's going to go well and I'll survive. So just to let you know, I could use your thoughts and prayers today as I go try to attempt the CrossFit Open. So, all right, that's all of the updates, housekeeping stuff. Now we'll get back to the question. So Bathsheba emailed and said, I have another important question. How do you differentiate what play is actually, quote, the child's stuff, end quote, and what comes from their screen use. Often children will play out things that they saw or that fascinate them from their screen time. Sometimes it is so clear that they are reenacting something they saw, and other times it's not. I'm sure it's part of the child on some level because they're gravitating towards it, but I feel like it contaminates the purity of their play. Can you possibly share your thoughts about this? Well, yes, of course. Thank you so much for emailing in. And for those of you that may or may not know, I wrote a book called Device Detox, so this is very near and dear to my heart. And the amount of time that kids spend on screens, it is so harmful, it is so damaging, it is so dangerous. And I'm actually very, very much in favor of advocating to parents about reducing screen time. So when kids come in and they reenact stuff that you can very clearly tell comes from screen use, that just gives me fodder to tell them that they need my book. So, but let's talk through my thoughts on that, and I'll kind of help you all understand what I think is going on there and just share some thoughts and maybe some suggestions of how to handle that as well. So first and foremost, I think the most important thing to consider is no matter what a child comes in with, no matter what they play, no matter what topics or themes emerge, we have to trust the child and we have to trust their play and trust the process. And here's what I mean by that. It doesn't really matter what a child brings in. There's purpose there. So it would be similar to a child bringing in a hoverboard, which this has happened. I'm thinking through, what have kids brought in? A hoverboard, a drum training pad. In other words, like it's the head of the drum, but that's all that it is, and it's for practicing drumming. So I've had that come in. I've had craft kits come in. I've had specific toys. This week, actually, Lauren's client had a dinosaur that he was carrying as he walked out of the session that he brought from home. So you have to keep in mind that kids will bring in things and there's a purpose there. So when a child brings in screen reenactment, video game play, anything that they've done on a device, we have to trust that there's a reason. And I'll throw out some possibilities. This isn't an exhaustive list. But it could be that the child feels competent in reenacting what they've done in a game because they've accomplished it in the game and they're proud of it and it builds their self-confidence. And so they want to play that out because it's reinforcing their competence and mastery. It could be that they are really struggling with something in the game. And it is a challenge that they're trying to overcome. So they're rehearsing and practicing so that they might feel more equipped to handle it when they actually go back to the game and play it again. So it could be their building of feelings of competence because they're actually really trying to work through that and it's difficult. It could also be that it is safe, and I'm air quoting safe. What I mean by that is a child sometimes will play out what is easy and common and normal for them, and that requires no creativity, no imagination, no unknown. If you reenact something that's already been scripted and already been done, you have no fear of where the play is going to take you. You have no fear of something coming up that you weren't prepared to deal with. So it can be safe play as well, where they are not ready or willing or able to allow their brain to just go where it needs to go with their play. And it's stable and it's steady and it's something that they can predict. So there's safety in that. And again, that's not a comprehensive list, but those are some options of why a child will play out screen time. All right, so then my next thought is it's always important and relevant and special when a child brings in something from the outside world into the playroom. And that doesn't have to be a physical or tangible thing. That can be they want to tell you about their soccer game. They want to tell you what happened at school. They show you their wacky hair and their wacky clothes because it was wacky day at school. They talk about what happened over the weekend, their birthday party that they went to, whatever. So sometimes it's an actual tangible object that they bring from home to show you. But sometimes it's they just want to share with you something that happened. That is connective It's relational. It's the child bonding with you because they see you for an hour each week. And for that hour, it's you and the child in the playroom. And that is special. But when they want deeper connection, when they're rapport building, when they're building trust and bond and connection, they will let you in on what happens outside of their time with you. And essentially what they're saying is, I want you to know me. I want you to know my life, not just in this hour that I'm with you each week. I want you to understand the rest of my world and the rest of my life when you're not with me. So it's a possibility that when they bring in their games, it matters to them. It's important to them. I mean, look, we know how addicting they are, right? So I'm sure it's very important to them. It's so many children's currency. So similarly, if soccer is really important to them, they're likely going to end up telling you about soccer. If baseball, Lord willing, if baseball is really important to a child, they're going to probably share with you about baseball. So if video games are really important to a child, they will bring it into the playroom. And while, Bathsheba, I completely understand your sentiment there that you feel like it contaminates the purity of their play, it definitely gets in the way of their imaginative and their creative play. Without question, it gets in the way of that. However, I don't feel like it contaminates. I feel like it's a different kind of play with a different purpose. And it brings in a different element to the playroom. So I typically look at it as, okay, this is important to the child for a variety of reasons, really, but it is important to the child in some way. And then my final thought is, it's also important to keep in mind that neurotypical children playing out screen use or video games or any kind of device influence is going to be different than a neurodivergent child. So neurodivergent kids, it is very normal. You can almost expect it that a child on the spectrum is going to play out something that they've seen in some digital capacity. So they will reenact TV shows, they will reenact movies, they will quote lines from TV shows and movies, they will play out video games. That is their brain wiring, and that is very normal and typical for children on the spectrum and any kind of neurodivergent child. However, for a neurotypical child, it can usually be an indication that they are on screens too much. And so if I notice that a child is reenacting a video game or is obsessed with playing out, here's what will happen. The child will be playing sword fighting with you, right? And so that seems like a pretty imaginative, creative type of play. And you each have a sword and they're hitting you and then they stab you with the sword and they go, oh, your health just went down 15. And then you immediately go, oh, okay, so this is a cue for a video game. Or you only have 3 lives, so you just lost one of your lives. Video game. Or you're leveling up. Oh, you just powered up. You're on the next level. You got to the blah, blah, blah. Now you have a gem. Okay, so when they say things like that, oftentimes it is actually creative play. I mean, sword fighting is creative. However, they work in elements of screen time. So whether it's full-on reenactment or whether it's just sprinkled in, with a neurotypical child, that is a really helpful indicator that they are probably on screens way too much. And then that necessitates a conversation with mom, dad, or caregiver at the next parent consultation where you inquire about their screen use, keeping in mind that there is a phenomenon of underreporting. So when you ask mom and dad, I wonder how much time each day your child spends on screens, and they say, oh, probably 2 hours, it's probably 4. So keep in mind that they're going to underreport, and that necessitates a conversation about the damage and how dangerous it is and why there really does need to be monitoring and controlling and regulations around screen use, et cetera, et cetera. So we, at the 5-week consult, give a copy of my book to every client because that really is such a significant piece of children's behavior and their emotions and what they're dealing with. So there is definitely a reason to bring up that discussion with parents if you see that video games and technology and devices are influencing the play. And again, not that it somehow undermines the process. We have to trust the child, trust their play, trust their process. They're playing it out for a reason. So they will still get where they need to go and they will do the things they need to do. However, it does give us cause to address this with parents and help them make decisions that are in the best interest of their child. Again, we're always trying to advocate for the child. We always want what's best for the child. And that requires sometimes some difficult or awkward conversations with parents. And about a child's screen use and how much they're on screens is one of those things. So, Bathsheba, thank you so much for the question. I hope that that is helpful to every one of you because every child is fighting the screen addiction battle. And we have to try to be kind of on the front lines of that. And, you know, when I'm asked to speak on this topic, I actually just spoke on this topic about a month ago in Orlando, and I had about 80 people in the room, and they came up to me in droves afterwards, just so many of them saying, oh my gosh, thank you so much. I'm going home and I'm completely changing the way that we handle screens. I had no idea. And it starts with me. And see, this is the battle because often parents are staring at their phones and their tablets and their laptops and their TV screen just as much as their child. And so this really is a family issue, but it's impacting kids more than we know. So Bathsheba, thank you so much for the question. And I'm very grateful to each and every one of you. Again, thank you for making my birthday special. And if you want to check out my newsletter, by the way, holy cow, y'all have been signing up for my newsletter like crazy. Eric, actually, my husband actually was like, I feel like I need to make sure that it's not a bot. You have so many people signing up. I actually am going to go in and make sure that it's real people. So I'm so happy that you're excited about the newsletter. And we have some coaching programs coming up. There's lots of things in the works. The collective is going like gangbusters. So super excited. If you want to check that out, go to playtherapynow.com. I hope that you all have a great weekend. Thank you for all of the time that you spend with me. It is into March as of tomorrow, y'all. Third month of the year already. Oh my gosh. Anyway, I'm so grateful for each and every one of you. I hope that you get to spend time with your family and friends in the next few days, and we'll talk again soon. Love y'all. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Play Therapy Podcast with Dr. Brenna Hicks. For more episodes and resources, please go to www.playtherapypodcast.com.